Okay, so we missed out on yesterday. Too bad. Okay, we won't have five in a week. That's all right. This week, we have a very interesting thing that starts off the Parsha. Moshe in last week's Parsha complains. Doesn't understand why things are now worse now that he's come back than before. All right, Paro has made actually the lives of the Jewish people much worse. And so, strangely enough, Moshe, you know, Eved Hashem, actually cries out to God. And says, why did you do this? What does Moshe say in last week's Parsha? Lama hariyota la'amazeh. Why have you done evil to this nation? La'amazeh shalachtani. Why have you sent me for this? Why have I been sent for this? Right? It's kind of crazy. That's a little bit strong language. And then God says in the in the end of last week's Parsha, you'll see. So, and that's how it ends off. That's how... Like, the Moshe complains, and God kind of gives him a mysterious answer, which is, like, I've always felt is kind of parallel to Eov. Have you ever read Eov or, like, looked, even, like, flipped through the pages of Eov? So it's about a guy who is amazing. According to the first chapter of Eov, he's very righteous. And Satan gets into an argument with God. Because God is like, wow, how righteous is this guy? He's amazing. And Satan says he's only righteous because good things happen. Right? He's only amazing because of good things that happened to him. So, like, he wouldn't trust in you. He wouldn't love you if bad things were happening to him. So God's like, I'll take that wager. And for 40 chapters, basically, which is a really long book, you know, 40 chapters, bad things happen to Eov. And all of his friends talk about how... he must have done something wrong, or like other responses to why bad things are happening to him. Like he loses his children and he gets afflictions and it's really bad stuff. Then at the end, finally, you know, and Eov refuses to like yell out to God, like why has this been so bad? Until finally he just, you know, meekly asks God at the end of Job, at the end of the book. And God's like, were you there at the beginning of creation? Do you understand, you know, were you there when the skies were formed and the birds were created and, you know, that kind of stuff. So the response that we get after 40 chapters of buildup to, oh, good, we're finally going to get the God-approved answer for why bad things happen to good people. The answer is, well, you can't possibly fathom it, kind of, or something like that. It does not clear. It's like a non-answer. So that's profoundly frustrating.
I think I found a pretty good answer for that question.
There are lots of answers. It's not the one that's in the canon. You know, is right. Now different people have interpreted it in different ways. Different people have understood Eov to be actually giving an answer. But basically, the response that we would expect at the end is like this clear and precise answer from God for how justice works in the world. And we don't. So Moshe... who, by the way, the Gemara says might have been an author of Eov, which is interesting. So Moshe was concerned for why bad things happen to good people. Another example of this is that the Gemara in Brachot says that when Moshe asked, let me see your face, let me see your ways, and God says, you can't see my face and live, and I'll show you my back. So the Gemara understands that as Moshe asking, how do I understand divine justice? How do I understand why bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people, and bad things happen to bad people, meaning it's like all mixed up. And God says, you can't see that. I can't show you the full picture, but I can show you the past. I can show you the stuff that has happened already. Maybe it'll give you part of the picture. So Moshe is apparently concerned with this kind of question. So right here we have Moshe saying, why have you done such evil to these people? Why are you sending me to even make things even worse, it seems like? I see it seem to be a pawn in your plan to torture these people. And God responds in this week's Parsha. Well, last week's Parsha, God says, you'll see. Which is kind of a non-answer, right? But it's a better answer, which is like you'll eventually understand. So what happens in this expression? So God continues in this conversation and doesn't leave it at that. He says, "Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, vayomer elav ani Hashem." So what's fascinating is that you have the two names of God. It says that Elokim spoke to Moshe and said, "I am Yud Kei Vav Kei." So like, which one is it, right? But anyway, he says, that playing with the names of God actually is not just part of the content, but also the form of the words in the Torah, which is fascinating. So, Gimel. By Ira El Abraham El Yitzhak El Yaakov, I appeared to Abraham, Yitzhak, and Isaac. I'm sorry, Isaac and Jacob. Kel Shakai, with the name Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, Yukevavke, Lo Nodati Lam. But my name, Yukevavke, I never let known to them. So he says, God continues and says, I'm upholding my covenant to them, right? To that I'm giving them Eretz Canaan, and you'll see how this all fits into that. So what is going on with this pasuk? Because every mafarish has the same question. What are you talking about? God never appeared as Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei to the Avot? It's patently untrue. There's many psukim. There are several examples of where God does appear to them and even says, my name is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Right? So Rashi says, pretty good answer. Actually, Rabbi Chanan Samet, in his studies on the Parsha, seems to, if I remember correctly, consider this one the best answer out of all of them, which you wouldn't usually attribute Rashi as the most pshat answer, but he understands it as the most pshat and contextually true answer, which is that God said, I didn't appear to them as someone who keeps his promises. I appear to them as someone who makes big promises and says he's really powerful, but they never got to see it in their lifetimes. They didn't see it come true. So them, I didn't get to show my image as the keeper of promises, because they could have just trusted in me, but they didn't know. And in fact, he puts that into the Lo Nodati Lahem. I wasn't made known to them, right? Because I didn't do anything in an active way that fulfilled those promises. But says Rashi, you're going to see. I'm going to be Yukevavke on their behalf for you, which is I'm going to fulfill the promise of taking the people out of Egypt and bring them back to the land of Israel. Okay, so that's Rashi. Lots of other answers are given. I seem to remember it was the Ibn Ezra, but it could have been someone else, who said, oh, all of those times previously where it says that God like speaks to Avraham or Yitzhak or Yaakov, and it sounds like God says to them, Yukei Vavkei. Oh, all of those are times where Moshe just put in God's name. You know, when he was writing the Torah, he put in God's name, or God dictated it to him, and he put in God's name as Yukei Vavkei, but it doesn't mean it historically happened that way. What?
That's what I thought at first, because, like, it's just because that's how it's written doesn't mean that that's...
Right, ooh, so yeah. That which is a kind of a brain twister insofar as usually we understand the way that it's written as being historically accurate. Okay, so this is all very interesting. Let's see what Shaddal says, right? So, okay. Now, before I even start Shaddal, I'll start with a different Shaddal. Shaddal on Breishit. All the way at the beginning of the second parak. So we finally get the first time that God's name is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei in the entire Torah. And it says, like this, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei Elokim. It's put together. First it says just Elokim, then it's Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei Elokim. So we know Rashi says in the beginning of the Torah that Elokim represents Midas Adin, strict judgment, the attribute of strict judgment, and Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei represents mercy. Shaddal says like this on Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei Elokim. What are those two names of God? He said, I'm reading in English because it's a long note, and I just want to get through somewhat quickly. So he says, the meaning of Elokim is, as I have explained, master of all the forces. Meaning Elokim is the uniter of all the forces, or the master of all of them in the universe. The term was originally applied to many deities, right? You had a god who is the master of the sun, and a god who is the master of the moon, a god who is the master of the wind, and another one who is master of the sea. And what God represents as the one God is that he was the master of all those forces. So because Elokim, or Elohim, applied to gods, like that was the original use of the word Elohim in the Hebrew, or even earlier than that. So that was retained in Hebrew when it was referring to the one God as Elohim. Okay, but what is Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which in fancy language is the Tetragrammaton? So what is that in reference to? He says that's only worshipped by the Jewish people. That is specific to the Israeli God, right? The Jewish God. And he says in this, and this is on... what pasuk is this on? In Bereishit, this is on pasuk Perek Bet, pasuk Dalid. He says he thinks that Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is a combination of two names. One of them is Yah, and the other one is Vai. Yah and Vai, meaning Yah as in a joyful sound. Right? And if you look at any time the word Yah is used in the Torah, he says, it is for a good thing. It is in reference to God as a good God, like doesn't do evil. And Vai, as we know from like the Yiddish Oyvei, but also in Hebrew it's Vai, it's still Vai, Vai means woe, right? It is something where, you know, something is not good that's happening. So the idea here is that God is the uniter of good and evil, meaning to say that there's no such thing as the division between the two. There's no such thing as the division between light and darkness, as other religions might have, but rather he is the worker of good and evil. So it's interesting is that he even references our pasuk, because he says, I explained there, etc. So, okay, and he goes into how to pronounce Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and he tries to figure that out, which is really interesting. And he also has a historical comment about when it changed to the word Adonai, like we don't pronounce it as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei anymore, and why exactly that would be. Okay, so that is on in Bereishit. So with that background in mind, let us read in Parshas Vayera. Okay, La'avot, so he says, what does it mean that God says, I appeared to them as Kel Shakai, but my name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, I didn't appear to them. Here's what he says. La'avot, harati yacholati latzilam le'etiv lahem. To the avot, I demonstrated my ability to save them. Kel Shakai is like a good name. Aval lo nodati lahem b'tor po'el hatovot v'ra'ot. But I never did evil to them. I never did bad things to them. So they didn't know me as the uniter of good and evil. They thought of me as the good God and only the good God, but they didn't know me as the bad God. So it's interesting, like, I guess because God didn't personally hurt them, so they didn't think of God as the worker of evil ever, even though like Abraham praying for Sodom or something. But I guess God's argument was this is an actually a good act, I guess. Shemar Alav Shmi Hashem. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei would symbolize the worker of good and evil, both aspects. Ki lo harati lahem, I never did anything bad to them, says Shaddal. V'yata she'ata umer l'ama hareot l'ama zeh. So Shaddal says this fits into what exactly Moshe had asked before. Why did you make things so bad for the Jewish people? He says, oh, you don't understand. You're going to see how I am a worker of good and evil, meaning things that seem bad and things that seem good all originate with me. L'man yiruni kol hayamin. Daki zeh darki. You should know that this is my way. And this is actually my will. Right? That God, they should know, God says, that I am the worker of good and evil so that they will fear me for all their days. It's interesting. So he kind of attributes the evil aspects, the bad things that happen to us, is like keeping us on the straight and narrow, which is interesting. In Shaddal's life, he actually lost a bunch of his children. He was poor for a long time. He had a really bad life. And Dan Klein actually talks about this in the introduction, I think, to the new Genesis, or maybe it was in the old one, I don't remember, where Shaddal actually comes to this realization that the good and the bad in the world that happens to a person is all in its, should be taken all as a complete package, and it's all appropriate to happen to a person. Okay, fine. But anyway, he goes on to talk about other Mefarshim. You can't say that the Avot didn't know the name of God as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, because we find, and here's some examples if you're ever looking for them, Bereishit Chaf Bet Yudalid, where it says, Vayikra Avraham, Shem HaMakom Hahu, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei Yira. It says, Avram called the statue that he built there, the monument that he built there, or the name of the place that he put there, is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as part of the name. V'chein, v'yomer elav, ani Hashem asher tzicha. In Bereishit says vav, zayin. Right? God even says, I am Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, tav, right? Yafeh amar Rashi lo dati, in katuv kan ela lo no dati. And he says, it's good that Rashi pointed out, it says no dati, wasn't made known to them, as if it was like not an active, like, making him aware. Okay, so there's other things that he says here. It's very interesting. He goes into other interesting things. But that's where we'll end for today. Very interesting. Yukei Vavke, the worker of good and evil. Very interesting stuff. Shkoyach.